The forward air controllers, what airplanes were they flying?
They were flying O-1s or O-2s, or a lot of times we used the candlesticks was the call sign for C-123s, and they would kick the flares out, and they were very good, very good. They were stationed there at Nakafanam, so we had a relationship getting together with them every day. They used C-130s. They were called Blind Bat. Some of them were blind, but
you want to expand on that?
I know. I threatened to shoot one down one night with my 38 caliber pistol because before he was dropping his flares, they were supposed to drop them at an altitude where when the flare came out, it would be low enough that we could come in across the top of the flares and drop. So the bad guys were illuminated, but we weren't. And he dropped these flares. You know, you pull out of the way. Okay, flares are away. So you start back into the target area when he's dropping. So the flare goes off, and Gus and I look up, and the flare's above us. And we say, hey, wait a minute. You're supposed to drop that lower. So we went out of the target area. And, okay, we'll come back in and drop it lower. So they did. And I think these guys were TDY out of Taiwan or somewhere, but or new to the country. So they came in and dropped another one. And we go back in. And as we get close to the target, flare goes off above us again. And we said, hey, you know, can you drop those flares any lower? And the guy said, no. So we said, okay. So we just started working under the flare. Well, that really wasn't good because under the flare, they can see you, even though it's lit up like, not like daylight, but it's illuminated below there. You're still visible to them when you're making your passes. So that wasn't a good thing. So I think that was the one that I told if I could find him. I said, turn on your rotating beacon. And he said, why? I said, because if I can find you, I'm going to shoot. And he said, I'm not going to do that. So anyway, that was, I really wouldn't have done it anyway. I probably couldn't have hit him.
You're all wearing Nimrod shirts and hats. What is Nimrod?
Go ahead.
Bruce.
Well, it's not what is currently on is Nimrod is a kind of adult, but that's not what it is. It's actually it comes out of the Bible, and there was I think it was Abraham's grandson or son was named Nimrod, and it stands for a warrior, brave and warrior. That's what it originally started.
So we knew them as Nimrods. But the enlisted guys had hats that said the fly-by-nights.
Yeah, the patch that one of the patches he wears has fly-by-nights on it. So,
was it a call sign also?
Yes.
Yeah.
So how did that all work? And were all A-26s Nimrods?
The A-26 over the years, early on, the first guys who flew the airplane. They flew them under Jungle Jim. Now, I don't know what their call signs were, but they flew them into the Congo, they flew them into Africa, they flew them in South America. And then over the years, when they went to Vietnam, they had them flying out of Benoit Air Base, originally in Vietnam in the middle 60s. And that was a farm, they were called Farm Gate at that time. That was the operation. And I don't know exactly the call sign they used. When they went to initially went to Nakafanam. They went under Big Eagle was the operation they went under, and again I don't know what call sign they used them, but the Big Eagle guys who were at Nakafanam, we evolved in the late 68, 69, the call sign became Nimrods, and so those of us that were there in that time frame were called Nimrods, and the guys that were before us. They don't really call themselves Nimrods, but we all flew the same airplane. So we have a reunion every 2 years, and we call it the 26s and the 60s. Because some guys flew them early, and some guys flew them later. So everybody kind of associated themselves with each group.
Bruce, when did you first meet Jim?
First meeting was when we went to training in this aircraft right here.
This very airplane,
Louisiana. We talk about luck. I mentioned luck and talent. By the end of the fifth day in training, we had classes to start with. I noticed talent in there, and we were asked to pair up and get our crews amongst ourselves if we wanted to do it, and if we couldn't do that, that they would pair us up. Well, I'd watched Tim's demeanor and his personality, comparing it to all the other people in there.
Oh my God!
And I just said, "That's the person I want to fly with." There's the man right there that has the talent. Here he is. I think still a second lieutenant. I'm not sure. I think he changed as we got to NKP as a first lieutenant. I'm not positive, but anyway, he was a brand new first lieutenant. But anyway, said. I like his perspective, and I like his personality and his demeanor. So I went up to him, and I said, look, we've got to pair up, and I would like very much to be your navigator. I love the airplane, but I want to come back alive. And so how about it? And out of the clear blue sky, and I talked about luck and talent and what have you. Well, luckily, he said, you bet. Well, we've developed a tremendous friendship over the years. And you all know that. You get into a small group, you'll find one or two people that you really like, and your personalities match up. Well, I sure was lucky, because we've continued this friendship. So we trained in the airplane, and then went over to through Jungle Survival School in the Philippines, then on into NKP, and got in the airplane, and had many exciting times.
Quote, unquote.
Now, this is the only tail that didn't actually deploy, isn't it?
That's true. This aircraft was the next one to go on a rotation to come into NKP, but we had some high-level generals that decided they didn't want planes with reciprocating engines doing the fighting over there. They wanted the jets to have a modern air force, so they took the very, very most effective. You know, these airplanes, this A-26 squadron over there had the highest truck kill of all the aircraft. And had a better bomb damage than any of the other aircraft. But they said, no, we want a jet. So we were all disappointed, and we still carry tears because we didn't get to finish our tour for one reason, but it was a very effective platform too. So anyway.
How often did you fly with Tim over there?
We flew every night.
So you were teamed
weeks.
Up on a regular
we were
basis.
Teamed up right at the start, and I talk about luck again. So how lucky I have been. Been lucky to be in the aircraft. It's a wonderful, wonderful airplane. Wanted to fly all my life. And tell you a story how I got into the airplane. I was teaching pilots and navigators their annual. Testing that they have to do, testing and exams. I was at the Langley, Virginia. And a navigator came in, and he had a picture in his hand, and he wasn't very happy. I said, well, what's wrong? Why aren't you very happy today? And I thought maybe it was because he had to take this exam and do it. And he threw a picture down of the A-26 on my desk. And he says, I had an assignment into one of these aircraft, and I just got notified this morning that I'm going into a different type of an aircraft. I think it was the C-123 he was going into, and no disparagement there. However, I looked at that and I said, well, and your job is what in this airplane? And he says, well, he says, basically I'm a co-pilot. Well, navigators kind of always like to be a co-pilot, at least, often. And I said, oh, really? And what does it do? And he says, well, it's sort of like World War II. And you fly in Laos and Cambodia, and you get to use the 850 calibers. And I says, oh, really? I just come back from a three-year tour in Turkey, and I was supposed to stay in Langley for a year, and I was coming up on 11 months. I just happened to know the personnel officer, and so I gave this gentleman that was supposed to take the test, and I says, well, here's your test. Go in and enjoy it. I got on the phone, and I called this guy, and I says, hey, I think there may be a vacancy in A-26s, and I want that slot. Can you help me with that, please?
Good to know the personnel officer.
Yeah, it was really nice. Well, I'd known him in Turkey, so at least I had a little bit of an in. So here we go, fate and luck. So he said, well, you know, they got about a 10% loss rate in those over there, and you're flying at night, and you're diving down between the cars and the mountains, and you know, you get shot at, and so I. He says, have you talked to your wife about that? And I said, you bet, and she's all in favor of it. It's okay.
So maybe a little about the airplane, because they aren't the same airplanes. In 63-ish, the French were operating some A-26s, and the Air Force had some overseas, and they were pulling the wings off of them.
Yeah.
So this is actually the last of 40 airplanes that was produced by OnMark Aviation in 1964,
Six.
I believe. Six? So there was only 40 of them ever made. Very special airplane. We lost a dozen-ish in combat.
Wow. Yes.
So pretty neat to have this one here.
So if you want to understand why she's called Special K, obviously she's a K model. Some of you have followed us. She survived the war. She made it to Davis-Monthan. She was the first of three to come out of DM and go into civil use. She went to the Georgia Department of Forestry. They're going to turn her into a fire bomber. They never did. A couple years later, they sold her. The guy was going to take it on a test flight before they took it up to Canada, and he crash landed the thing. The main gears were ripped out. The engines were torn off. They came within days of taking the cutting torches and turning her into scrap. Well, Denny Lynch saved her, got her back up to Billings. He had her for 30 years, and then he passed away, and then we got our hands on her. And this is what you see here today. So what Scott was saying, this one right here behind me, that's your Ford Mustang. This is the Shelby Cobra.
Yes.